See, and even as I hear Dave talk like that, most of you by now know Sue and I well enough to know we're as plain as dirt. Absolutely nothing remarkable about us at all. Except she's just real pretty. She is remarkably pretty. I lose my train of thought if I look at her too long. Well, we've only been married 34 years. I mean, you know, give me a break, you know. Amen. But the remarkable teaching, the reason I believe it's remarkable too, some of these here recently, I want to get out of my body, sit on the front row and take notes with you. Because it's not me, it's the Holy Ghost. And the only thing that's allowing that is doing the message. We just, plain enough, and had, can I say it this way, we had already found out a whole lot about what doesn't work. We tried a lot of religious stuff that doesn't work. You know, and I came here, I didn't trust Dave as far as I could throw him. I'd had well-meaning preachers that didn't intend to hurt me before, but they still hurt me. They taught me stuff that wasn't true. So it took me about 6 months of listening to the tapes, and boy, I analyzed them. I scrutinized them. I got the Bible out, and I'd follow along with the book. But after about 6 months, I told Sue, I can't find anything wrong with what he's teaching. I think I'm going to go for it. So in December of 1992, I made that decision. And God had me, you know, a lot of times His hand is on you a lot more than you realize. You know, He had us in the right house, we just lived 2 miles from here. Had me in the right job where if a guy wanted to pray, man, I'm a long haul trucker at the time. I'm stuck in the cab of that truck 10 hours at a time. Just turn off the radio and let her rip. But see, I know how we thought, and I know what I understood when we came here. When we were baptized in the Holy Ghost, but we didn't know much about praying in tongues. We didn't know there was any benefit to doing it. We just didn't know the message. So we know how we were before. I know how I think now, how we think now, how we understand now. Let me tell you, it works. I highly recommend you do the message. Praying in other tongues, meditation of the Word, confession of the Word, assimilation of the Word, fasting, worship. I'm working on another lesson that's not tonight. I'll just give you previews of coming, something that's coming. You know, I did the one called Interview with a New Creature. Now that was, in that interview, it was like Katie Couric or one of the news anchors sitting down with the new nature and interviewing, you know. And by the time we got through there, we're just like, in case you weren't here, just one of the questions was, okay, you're a child of God, born of God, are you? Yes, I am. Let me just ask you a question. Do you keep the law? And the answer was, well, respectfully, I just need to let you know that the law of Moses was never given to my species. See, we don't think like that. We don't realize. You know, that was given to the fallen sons of Adam. But I don't have the life of Adam in me. I've been raised from that species to new life. And the life that's in me is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the law was never given to my species. He gave me a nature to walk by, not an external law. Now, isn't that different? See, it just sets you free from so many things. Well, this new one that's coming, see, that was Interview with the New Creature. This one is where my soul is going to sit down and interview my new nature. There's hostility coming. One of the first questions, here's my soul. My soul is the interviewer. My soul has got aught against. This new nature keeps interfering with the soul's plans for my life. See? So one of the questions that goes, all right, I want to know right now, how come it is that when you start praying in that language, Why is it that God will give you the understanding of it and not me? I want to know. I want to know right now. I'm going to give you two of them. The answer to that one is, well, because if you knew, you'd go to the movies. If you knew what was praying about, you'd stop. Because we're praying on stopping a lot of the things you have in mind. Another one says, well, what is it about this fasting? I'm telling you right now, I am not going to allow fasting in this house. There's nothing about fasting that I like. What do you think about fasting? The new nature says, I love fasting. Fasting is one of the greatest tools that the Father has given me to bring the flesh under dominion. I love fasting. I think it's great, don't you? Can you see the war? Now, I already know right now which part of that argument I tend to line up with. Me and the soul are over here, you know. Me and the mind. All right, and see, this leads us into the lesson, because we're talking about renewing the mind. You can go ahead and turn, you know where, Ephesians, I believe it's 4. We're making this journey from being soul dominated to being spirit led. Let me put it that way. See, in primarily the book of Ephesians, the emphasis is primarily on holiness more than it is doing miracles. It's mentioned a little bit in here when it says that we are His workmanship, created unto good works. See, the natural mind reads that and says, oh, yes, yes, good works. We're supposed to, you know, feed the hungry and clothe the naked. Well, yeah, we're supposed to do that, honey. You don't have to be born again to do that. I mean, people in other religions do that, you know. Muslims do that. Buddhists do that. Even just people that just kind of atheists, they'll still help a neighbor in need sometimes. Yes, we're created, and it actually says we are created in Christ Jesus. We had to be recreated. You want to see it? Look at Ephesians 2, just back up to chapter 2. Look at verse 10. It says, for we are His workmanship. He's talking about the part of you that got born again, the part of you that is spawned of God. The part of you that loves fasting. So I'm a little bit foreign to that guy. But he's talking about that part of us. The part that He created at the new birth. Created in Christ Jesus. This happened when you got born again. He fashioned you. You are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. If he's just talking about feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and being nice to your neighbor, Jesus didn't really have to pay the price for that. Unsafe people do a lot of that. When he says, I created you in Christ unto good works, he's talking about the very works that Jesus said we would do. He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. God created you a supernatural being, anointed by His own Spirit, recreated in order to co-labor with His Spirit to do good works in the earth. That's what that's talking about. Now, we're going to get there. But then the primary teaching, though, in the book of Ephesians, is how to walk holy, not as the other Gentiles walk. Well, that's through the power of the new nature. And I just thought it was so fascinating to me how Sunday, Dave, when he spoke in the second service, he just picked it right up out of chapter 8 of Romans. Because Ephesians is written to, how does Dave say it? Swine-eating Gentiles, you know. Ephesians is written to pagans. They were worshiping the great goddess Diana. Romans is written to born-again people, but they really have a Jewish history. And you can tell by the way he talks to them. They know a lot about the law. I speak to them that know the law. But the truth is the truth, whether it be There's not one gospel for the Jewish born-again person and another gospel for the Gentile born-again person. There's just one gospel. But how he explains it is completely different. So to the Gentile, he uses this analogy. He says, now, I want you to put off the old man. I want you to put on the new man. How do we do that? You need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, you're going to have to, and we've been teaching on that, you're going to have to let the new nature that God put in you retrain your mind to think like God. There's a lot of things that's changed. You just don't know about it yet. But if you'll listen to the new nature, it will tell you what's right and wrong. And you won't walk like the other Gentiles walk. Now see, that's how he's explaining it to them. Over in Romans 8, he says to them, he says, now, if through the Spirit, it is through the Spirit. Of course, King James has a capital S there, making you think it's the Holy Ghost. But it's not. It's a little S. He's saying, if you through the new nature mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So how is it that we walk holy? It's the new nature. You're going to have to let the new nature dominate the soul, dominate the appetites of the flesh. It is through the Spirit, little s, through the new nature, that you mortify, put to death the deeds of the body. Over in Ephesians, he says you're going to have to renew your mind. Let that Spirit renew your mind. Right now, you're thinking like the old person that you were before. You got to let this new nature God put in you teach you to think like God thinks. Teach you your inheritance. Teach you what you have now. Through that process, you'll put on the new man. Because that guy, he's already created in righteousness and true holiness. And he'll teach you how to walk that way if you'll let your mind be trained by him. It's the same truth exactly. Spoken a little different to the Romans. Spoken a little different to the Gentiles there, the Ephesians. But it's exactly the same truth. But see, miracles don't proceed from the new nature. Holiness and righteousness and a pure conscience. See, what is the voice of your new nature? Primarily, it's your conscience. Again, I'll use that example we've used so many times. It's a perfect illustration. Now, maybe you've been a person that for years you worked in an office. And whenever you needed some paper clips at home, you know, paper clips are so cheap. And they got boxes of them in that office, you know. They got little boxes about this big. So, you know, for years, you didn't think anything about it. Well, we need some paper clips. So you'd get a little box of those, slip them in your pocket or your purse. And then you'd go home, not think a thing about that, see. Then you go to one of those fire and brimstone Dave Roberson meetings where you can smell the sulfur. I mean, at the altar call, you're the first one down there to give your life to Jesus. You get truly born again. And what happens, there is a spirit generated in you that you didn't have before. That old man is crucified with Christ. That new man is created. I did my letter today. I was writing a letter, and I looked up that word that says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I can't spell the Greek word, K-I-S something or other, K-I-T something. But anyway, the meaning of it is the original formation. It's not talking about renewal. It's talking about something created that did not exist before. God creates something, an original formation in you. Something you didn't have before. It's a new creature. It's a new spirit. It's new life. It comes from Jesus. It says it's after God, created in his image. And he's in there and he's going to mess with you. Because the very next time you get born again, you know, maybe you don't know a whole lot, but the very next time that you need paper clips, same thing you've been doing for 10 years. But now you've been born again. Nobody preached to you it's wrong to steal paper clips. But just the same thing you've been doing for 10 years, and the first time the thought originates in your mind. I think I'll take some paper clips home. That thing may not say words. You may not literally hear, thou shall not steal. You know, you may not hear those words, but boy, does that conscience communicate with you. Right there in your gut, right in your belly. And he goes, no. And you go, where'd that come from? See, I'm always concerned, you know, if you go to a meeting and the end result of that service was It's wrong to steal. And if that's news to you, if that's a revelation to you, at the altar call, please come forward, because you're not saved. See, God writes His law in your heart. It's a faithful guide when it comes to righteousness. He says that new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. But from the instant he's created in there, from that point on, you've got a warfare that is described in Galatians chapter 5. That new man, he wars against the flesh. The flesh wars against the new man. These two are contrary, the one to the other. The flesh, I'm telling you right now, it wants what it wants when it wants it. It doesn't care what God thinks about it. It doesn't care what anybody else thinks about it. And by the way, once it has it, it wants more. It's never satisfied. Never comes to an end. God put a spirit in you that is truly seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. But if you don't ever let that spirit start let's say it a different way. If you don't ever start allowing your soul to bow the knee and yield to the new nature, you can have that new nature in you and be a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and not change very much. Not only in your walk, and maybe you might change some, but that change not only in your walk, but then also wonder, why doesn't stuff happen when you pray? That's really where we're headed tonight. Why don't I see, and I know I'm saved, I know I'm on my way to heaven, but why doesn't things happen more when I pray? But we never read Ephesians 4, did we? Yeah. We'll look at it real quick. In case there's somebody here that hasn't seen this, we've been on this for weeks. See, what we're trying to accomplish here is not only theoretically, or let's say positionally, know these truths. What Paul was after with the Ephesians and what we're after here is not just knowing it. We want to walk in it. All right, so that process is described here in Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24. So he says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. That old man is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now jump to 24. The end result is we want to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In case you haven't heard it, I've got to say it again. It's important to notice what Paul does not say there. Paul is not saying, I want you to work really hard to make your old man do better. Clean him up. Make him do better. See, that's Old Testament repentance. Now, we're supposed to repent and turn towards God. But what Paul's talking about here is not trying to make your old man do better. He's saying, put that rascal in the ground where he belongs. Put him off. Quit trying to make him do better. You're not that person anymore. That's the truth that's got to penetrate our brain, penetrate our mind. Real repentance is to stop believing you're still that same old person you were before and start believing you are the new creature that God created at the new birth. Well, how do I make that transition? Well, it's right there in the middle. How you make that transition? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I taught on that at length a service or two ago. What that truly means to me is that new nature that God put in us, that's the part in us that's born of God, that thinks like God, that thinks righteous thoughts. You know, there's a part of you that always thinks holy. That's really hitting me strong. I think of every sin I've committed, you know, the one or two I've committed since I got saved. Oh, we're on video. No. Okay. I think of every sin I've committed since I got saved. Well, I've been saved almost 30 years. It's really dawning on me every single time I did that. Whatever it was. So what was it? I'm not asking you what your stuff is. Now be quiet. Every single time there's a part in me that went, this is the way you should go. There was a part of me that's righteous and holy that was speaking to me. And if I heard it, see, and here's a danger too. If you hear it and ignore it and continue to do that and continue to do that, the Bible talks about you get your conscience seared like with a hot iron. It's not supple and pliable anymore. It's like a scar, like a callus or something. Pretty soon you don't even hear that anymore. You just get to doing stuff and you're on your way to heaven, but people looking at you go, I don't see much difference between you and the world. Well, there's a part in me, by the way, if you've been like that, don't ask me how I know this. If you've done that, even you can ask God to help you make that place tender in you again, to give me a tender conscience. You know he'll help you. He will do that. Things that right now that you don't even notice, pretty soon you can't stand to be around that anymore. Well, the point is this: be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And primarily, everything we've been talking about, and even so far in this service, primarily what Paul is writing to the Ephesians about is to walk a righteous and a holy life in the midst of a perverse and lost generation. Okay? But see, our ultimate goal, and thank God, I mean, I'm hoping to walk more holy. I want to walk more righteous. I hope you do. But our ultimate goal here is beyond that. Our assignment at the prayer center is to go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. Signs and wonders that are not just occasionally and not scattered. My favorite passage on this, which I'm not going to read tonight, is in Matthew 15, near the middle of the chapter, where he talks about the multitudes came. They brought great multitudes came to him. He was having a service on a mountainside, and they brought great multitudes to him, the lame, the blind, the sick, the halt. And he just says, I just try and picture that. How many thousands? How long was that prayer line? But it says they would bring them and just put them down at his feet. And it just says simply, and he healed them. If words mean anything, he healed them all. And why wouldn't he? I know the day is coming. That's the one. That's the vision for me, for the prayer center. That they can bring them by the tens, they can bring them by the hundreds, they can bring them by the thousands. And all of them will receive their healing. Every single one. We have chapter and verse for it. Amen. So let's talk about miracles. Let's talk about faith. Let's talk about how do those kind of things happen. Now we're getting into tonight's service, really. All that was review. I want you to turn to two places. Go to Mark 9. Mark 9 and Matthew 8. But in Mark, we're going to go to Mark first. Because we're talking about renewing the mind. Do you think as your mind gets renewed to think like God, you'll have more faith or less faith? You'll have more. The more you think like God, the easier faith becomes, really. So this is a valid study on this, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, I don't think there's any doubt in my spirit. Now my spirit, just let's clear this up. There was a season where there were some teachers that said, when you get born again, you receive, your spirit is all-knowing. That's not true. Your spirit comes into you like a mustard seed. It comes in small. Your spirit has to have a teacher also. Now, it's created, it's true. It says it is created in righteousness and true holiness. But there is a teacher for your new nature. He is called the Holy Spirit. He primarily communes with that new creature on the inside of you. In fact, one time in my face-to-face, I told you we've only shared 20 of those. One time in my face-to-face, I was... Yeah, man, things were going along pretty good. He was talking to me. I was getting revelation on almost a daily basis. Things was going along pretty good. And one day my soul just got fed up with it a little bit. And it wrote out about 6 questions. I want to know about this. I want to know about that. When I say my soul, I'm talking about the intellect. You do know when you're praying in other tongues, it's your spirit praying in communion with the Holy Ghost. Well, hours and hours, I don't know about your mind. My mind gets bored. It doesn't like not knowing what's being said. So it came up with about 4, 5, 6 questions. What it was, what those were is not important. So I'm listening, and you know what he said to me? He says, I don't normally answer questions that are generated by your soul. Especially when your soul is just trying to get information that will allow it to keep having dominion over your spirit. He gave my soul a smackdown. He just like, you go over there. Basically, he didn't say it this way, but basically, shut up, sit down, and be nice. Let me talk to your spirit. And then your spirit is really the one, is it that your spirit is not created in you. It's not all-knowing. God the Holy Ghost is all-knowing. And that's why he communes with you. Now, your spirit has access to all knowledge. You got that? But it's not created in you all-knowing. You are going to depend on the Holy Ghost. You got that? For your leadership. The new nature will guide you when it comes to moral things, right and wrong, holy, righteous. But it is not, what's that word Dave used? It's perfect, statistical. It's not. He won't give you a phone number if you need it. The new nature won't give you an address. But the Holy Spirit will. He'll tell you, just go to this certain street, knock on that door, talk to Bob. One time a guy in Australia was trying to get a hold of Dave, and he didn't really have any way of doing it. And he's just praying in the Holy Ghost, and these numbers just appeared like, you know, oh, okay. Then, you know, these numbers, I mean, he said it was so plain to him, it's just like suspended in the sky. He just started dialing the numbers, and it answered Dave Roberson Ministries from Australia. But see, that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, he has all knowledge. Your spirit doesn't. That's a degree off. Now, if you start teaching you your regenerated spirit is all-knowing, no, it's not. The Holy Ghost is all-knowing. If you're being taught by the Holy Ghost, and then your spirit really is the one teaching and training your mind. That's why it says be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That new nature is taught by the Holy Ghost. But your mind is to be taught primarily by the new nature. Now, the Holy Ghost can talk to you too. Boy, can he talk to you. All right. I want to look at, when I was thinking about this renewing the mind, even when it comes to faith, see, the world doesn't like genuine Bible teachings on faith. The world wants to think, well, really, ultimately, because of the way the world thinks, they can blame everything on God. We prayed, he didn't heal her, must not have been his will. And without saying it, they're going, we care more about that person than God does. Because at least we were willing to pray. But see, genuine Bible faith, you got to understand this. Now, this is where they don't like this. But it's a truth anyhow. I'm going to show it to you. You don't get from God what you deserve. You get from God what you believe. Now, let me show it to you. It's right here in the Word. Let's look at Mark 9. Normally, we read about this over in Matthew 17, but there's something here we need to see. Verse 14 says, when he came to his disciples, that's Jesus, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foams, and he gnashes with his teeth, and he pines away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. Now, modern day language. I took him to the church. If it was going on today, where would he bring him? Wouldn't he bring him here? Would he take him to the disciples? I took him. I said, cast that thing out. And like the church today, they could not. Now, Jesus deals with their unbelief more plainly over in Matthew 17. But I want you to notice he deals with the faith of this father here too. So he answered and said, oh, faithless. So let's get the picture. This guy says, look, I brought my son. He's had this devil. This thing foams and he gnashes with his teeth and he's pining away. I brought him to your disciples. I asked them to cast him out. Apparently they tried because he didn't say they wouldn't. He said they couldn't. I can just picture them doing. And the thing of it is, these same people, if you go look at it, they've cast out devils before. I'm sure they did everything they've done before. But something about this one, I think what it was the visuals, that the throwing him on the ground, the foaming at the mouth, the gnashing of teeth, and the throwing him and all of that. I think it affected their five senses, and they're going, whoa. But in any event, that's just speculation. In any event, they couldn't cast him out. So he answered him, and he saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tearing, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. I bet he did that same thing too when it came up to the other disciples, and it moved them. He asked the father, how long is it ago since this came into him? And he said, of a child. Oft times it's cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Now here we said all that to say this. I want you to know the attitude of the heart of this father. He says, I brought him to your disciples. They tried. They couldn't do anything. Now he says, but if thou can do anything, if you can do anything, Jesus, I'm not sure. I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't. If you can do anything, would you please help us? This is the guy's level of faith. If you can do anything. Now just keep that in mind. Jesus turns it right around and says to him, Daddy, Daddy of the little boy, Daddy of the young man, if you can believe, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now let's stop for a moment. My question to you is the same question Sue asked me one time when we had a real serious... I'd been given a death sentence from the doctors with cancer. They gave me 6 months. We were stunned on the way home. We were not expecting that. The silence in the car was deafening. You know, just to have a big lump in your throat, you didn't know what to say. I mean, I'll never forget those words. He says, young man, we're going to send you to MD Anderson Hospital. I'm going to do the best we can for you, but my advice to you is get your affairs in order. I don't think you have 6 months. I was in my early 40s. Heading home, man, she asked me the right question. She said, what can you believe? See, because theoretically, we already knew the Bible well enough to know theoretically, I should be able to just speak the word only. We're going to look at that one in a minute. Just speak the word and that thing's gone and I'm healed and I'm okay. Trouble is, this happened near the end of a 5-year stretch where we had really gotten weak in our fellowship with the Lord. We'd gotten weak in we weren't really attending a church anywhere on a regular basis. We had been really wounded in a church and it was probably one of the low periods of our, plus a lot of circumstances was going on in our life at the time that just had us really beat down. She asked me the right question. I said, well, I know I should be able to believe, just believe it away, but I don't know that I have the faith for that. She said, well, what can you believe? That's a good question. I didn't answer right away. I thought about it for a few minutes and I said, well, here's what I think I can believe this. Number one, that the diagnosis does not have to be as severe as what that man just said. And number two, that they will be able, through surgery, to get every cell of that cancer out of my body. That was my level of faith. Now, let me ask you, from God's perspective, could I have had more? Absolutely, I could have. We're going to look over here in a minute. The highest level of faith is speak the word only. Speak the word only. In His name. His name is, Peter said, this miracle was done through His name, by His name, through faith in His name. Did God have more for me? Yes, I could have had more. And I knew I couldn't believe at that level. So what I received was exactly what I believed. I've given that testimony before, long story short. The end result of it was, within a week or so, the diagnosis completely changed. See, there was two things. The diagnosis does not have to be as severe. Come in there about a week or two later, and they're done their little test, and he says, You know, this might just be a surface-spreading melanoma. If it's not really in your bloodstream yet, not gone throughout your body, it's possible we might be able to get every cell of that cancer out of your body. Boy, that's exactly what we prayed. That's exactly what we agreed on. She agreed with me when I said that. That's exactly, the diagnosis was not as bad as it had to, what they said before. And now they're saying, and we believe we can get every cell of cancer out of your body. We just high-fived, and that's what it is then. By the time the surgery actually happened, at first it was like, we give you 6 months to live. Oh, you can hear the funeral dirge already. By the time they actually did that, they almost did it on an outpatient basis. I didn't even spend one night in the hospital. They gave me an anesthetic enough to knock me out. I came to and I said, how long till they do the surgery? The lady says, it's already done. And I said, would you hold my hand? Took me a moment. It was just, and they sent me home within about 2 hours from then. It went from 6 months to live. Okay, come in. I'll knock you out for a couple of hours. Go home. Done. That was 1990, roughly, maybe 92, I think. Here it is, 2009. That's been a long 6 months. The point is, all things are possible to him that believes. The question is, what can you believe? Well, what's going to happen to us? Now, see, this fella, at this point, he says, if you can do anything, Jesus, if you can do anything, please help us. Jesus says, well, look, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, the guy does, he says this, verse 24, in his defense, the father's defense. He said, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. In other words, he's acknowledging. He's saying, what he's really saying is, look, if I didn't believe at all, I wouldn't have brought my boy here. I'm believing to the whatever level I have. Would you please help me with whatever unbelief is still in me? And you notice Jesus did, and the boy got healed. But notice the level of this guy's faith. His level is, if you can do anything, Jesus. Now let's go look at the centurion for a minute. You already know what's coming. Matthew 8, starting in verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But here it is. Now notice his faith. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority. Now, in one of the other accounts of this, he says, for I am also a man. And to me, that also adds so much. He says, I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. Look at verse 13. Jesus said unto the centurion, you go thy way. Now notice, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now in this case, Jesus didn't even have to be physically present. Why? He said he would go. He says, I'll go and heal him. I'll come. In other words, I'll come into your house. But the centurion's faith was so high, he says, you don't even need to come to my house. He says, I am a man that understands authority. I have authority from Rome. And when I speak, what I have authority over, which happens to be these men and these servants, when I speak, those that I have authority over, they don't have a choice. They are going to do what I say. And if not, all the power of Rome is going to come until they do what I say. He says, I'm a man under authority from Rome. I perceive that you are a man under authority to God. And he has given you authority over sickness and disease of every kind. You don't even need to come to my house. All you got to do is speak. And that sickness, it doesn't have a choice. It has to go. Is that good stuff or what? Is that good stuff? Now notice the difference in the faith level, though, of the two men. And we're talking about a renew. It's the way they think. It's the way they think. One of them goes, his understanding of who Jesus is and how the kind of authority that he has, it causes him to have great faith. But it's because his mind, he thinks like that because his circumstances are very similar in the natural realm. So his mind says, oh, I understand authority. You don't even need to come. You just speak it. You just speak it and it'll be done. He said, that's the way it is with me. When I speak it, it's done. My servant, they don't have a choice. And if they think they do, there's going to be power come from headquarters that's going to change their mind. He says, I understand that. But see, the way he thinks, his mind is renewed. Jesus said, of all the people I've met, this guy right here, which is amazing. He's a Roman. He doesn't even really have a covenant with God. But boy, he understood authority. He understood that. And because he did, Jesus said, I have traveled throughout this land. I have not found anyone with that level of faith. But can you see it's just based on how he thinks? Now, the other guy over there, he's going, well, I heard, apparently he's heard or something caused him to have enough faith. He says, I believe. Well, what he means, I wouldn't have brought my son here if I didn't have some faith. But I'm not even sure you can do anything, Jesus. Boy, that's about as low as it comes, you know. Most on your worst day, you didn't probably have that thought. See, Christians, they don't normally think so much that he can't. Their problem is, will he? If you'll meditate on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John enough, try and find a case where he was unwilling. You'll find out every single person that ever came for a miracle from Jesus. Now, he had to correct them sometimes. He had to talk to them sometimes. But the end result, when they left, they got what they came for. Now, is he willing or not? He is willing. Even that leper said, even the leper. Yes, Matthew 8, just back up to verse 1. He says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper. Now, that's the worst of the worst, a leper. Parts fallen off, unclean, you're not even supposed to be out in public, you know. A leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, now here, this is the only time I found in all the New Testament where anyone ever asked him, are you willing? If thou wilt means, are you willing? If you're willing, if you want to, Jesus, if you want to, if you will, I know you can. Make me clean. This guy didn't have any problem with his ability. He just didn't know if Jesus would. And it's almost like this is in here on purpose. Almost because Jesus knew ahead of time people would have this question. Are you willing? Lord, I know you can. Are you willing to heal me? And just like, so it'd be in us forever. So we'd always have the answer to that. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. I will. In other words, I am willing. Yes, be thou clean. And immediately, I'm getting to where I love that word. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Are you looking forward to some of those days? Now let's go back to Ephesians for a minute. I want to show you the centurion's faith in the book of Ephesians. Now, I know he never read it, but his faith is there anyway. He says, I'm a man under authority. I know when I speak, my soldiers have to obey me and my servants have to obey me. And it's all based on what I say because I have authority over them. I know when you speak, because you're in submission to God, you have authority over all sickness and disease. No matter what kind it is, when you speak it, it doesn't have a choice. Just speak the word only. You don't even have to come to the house. Just speak it and that disease will go. You want to see his faith? It's right here. Ephesians 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ... This is God's trying to give us the same kind of faith as the centurion. He's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above. Now, this is a centurion's faith. He understood this somehow without having this letter to read. Jesus, I know in the authority you have is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. There's the faith of the centurion right there. Would to God we had that same faith. Peter had it. Go to Acts chapter 3. Peter had it. Acts chapter 3. This is where they were going by the gate beautiful. And that man that had been born from his mother's womb, lame. Born that way, birth defect. In the early days, people would try and talk me out of, say, oh yeah, maybe he can heal, but you know, birth defects. Oh, birth defects are all through here. He healed this guy. He healed a man born blind. Birth defects. Birth defects have to bow the knee to the name. See, Peter knew that. Look at this. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked him for money. He asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them. Now, he was expecting to receive something. This guy's faith is very small, but he's expecting to receive something. Now, he didn't have faith at this point for healed legs. He has faith for money in his tin cup or whatever. He's asking, please, can I just receive some money? We're talking about Peter and John's faith here now. Watch this. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Here we go. In the name, what we just read in Ephesians, He is seated above every name that is named. At His name every knee shall bow. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, there it is again, immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him. This was immediately. And they all knew that it was He which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto Him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now get this, Peter tells exactly how this miracle was done. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us? Now see, notice, the new nature is created in righteousness and true holiness, but miracles do not proceed from the new nature. Now watch this. Why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Now the new nature is to guide us, it is to lead us, it is to help us walk holy and righteous in a sinful world. But miracles come from the Holy Ghost. Jesus Himself did no miracles, even though He walked sin-free for 30 years before He was baptized in the Holy Ghost. He did no miracle until the Holy Ghost came on Him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. God the Holy Ghost was with Him. But now watch this. The Holy Ghost works through that name, see. He said, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead. Bashful, isn't he? Whom God has raised from the dead. This is the same guy that denied Jesus three times because he was scared. Whereof we are witnesses. That here it is. It's not through our power. It's not through our holiness. His name. Through faith in his name. That's the faith of the centurion. I know that you have authority. Now, the centurion, he could talk with Jesus. Jesus was still physically on the earth. Jesus has no mouth on the earth now, except on his body, meaning the believers. Peter's mouth has to be Jesus' mouth. So when Peter speaks, though, and he speaks in the name, it carries the same authority as if Jesus had spoke the word himself. Well, that's Peter. I wish he would do that for me. He will do that for us if we can believe it. And there comes again full circle. Are we ever going to just epoxy our britches in a chair? Quit allowing our mind to control our life? And just sit there and be nice while our new nature is in communion with the Holy Ghost? So that it can be taught, and as it understands all of these things, it turns around and instructs us so that we can truly be renewed in the spirit of our mind. See, it doesn't do enough. You remember the guys who tried to cast out devils in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches? They had no relationship with Jesus himself. They had no relationship. Okay. I bet if we knew the truth of it, they're going to make money off that deal. I bet you anything. I bet you they were going to make money. Oh, hey, we're going to see if this works. We're going to cast out a devil through the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. If it works, they got a thing going. Well, you know what happened to them? They had no relationship. They're just trying something, and that's the way most of the church is. If you can do anything, I'll come. I'll get in the line. If you can do anything, fine. Otherwise, I guess it wasn't your will. Well, that's not a very renewed mind. Now, what he's calling us to do... Okay, yes. Where are we? Ephesians? No, we're in Acts. Go to Ephesians. His name through faith in his name. All right, now we're wrapping it up now. I've never seen it so clear in all of our 16 years at the prayer center. I mean, at first the assignment was real simple. Pray in tongues. I knew what my assignment was. Then I got some other ones along the way. Take these verses, speak them 4 hours a day. Then I got some other ones. Some of them I obeyed, some of them I didn't obey. I want you to fast so many times a week. Gary, did you do that? Going on to Ephesians. Some of them I obeyed, some of them I didn't obey. Okay? I obeyed some. I'm still here. At least I'm still here. Thank God for a survivor. But the assignment was mostly pray, then learn how to meditate in whole subjects. I mean, that took a while. It took some discipline. Then assimilate the books. So here we know, counting with the beans, you know, assimilating the books, okay? And continuing to pray during all that. Should have been fasting. I'd be a lot further down the road, I'll just tell you now, if I'd have done more fasting. But I didn't, so he loves me anyhow, so shut up. Anyway, so I'm not talking about your stuff, am I? The assignment we've got is so clear to me. And it's not just me. I see what it is. We have got to renew our minds, people. That's it. That's the assignment for this season. Renew our minds. To what? Oh, that part is real simple, too. Everything in the first 3.5 chapters of the book of Ephesians. Everything that's in there. Whatever he says, we're going to have to renew our mind to that. And I mean where it affects you on Monday and not just on Sunday. Because, see, we read all that about Jesus. And then you say, yeah, but that's him. I can understand that about him. But that's not me. I know who I am. I'm just barely making it. I'm in debt. I can't hardly pay my bills. I lose my temper at the drop of a hat. And I worry all night. I can't sleep. And other than that, I'm fine. You know. And I'm trying to get counseling. Nobody will talk to me. And... you know, nobody cares. They don't love me anyway. I'm going to go watch another movie. or whatever, you know. And the truth of the matter is, if you're going to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that same place exactly where he has exalted Jesus, he seated you in the same place. So, I know why you're saying all of that. I understand why I say it. He told me here recently, every time I start to say, well, I know me, he goes, no, you don't. Well, what I mean is I know how I am. No, you don't. Because you're about to follow that up with 15 minutes of unbelief, telling me everything about the old man that I'm trying to get you to bury. But you're about to say is not you at all, not what I say it is. But see, look at chapter 2 real quick. I know you know this, but... And you, well, you set Jesus far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named. Boy, if I could get him to speak the word, that'd be great. I know it would work. But I'm just who I am. Really? Let's come on to, for time's sake, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. There's your new nature. By grace you are saved. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you know what the purpose was? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Boy, if that's his purpose. When I think about he wants to show me the riches of his kindness. Lily Ann, our 2-year old, going to be 2 years old in just next month, 2-year old granddaughter, she on a regular basis experiences the riches of the kindness of her papa. And her Mimi. We're always thinking about her and Cole and ways that we can show the exceeding, how does it say it? Exceeding riches of grace in kindness to her. Now listen to me, people. We know how we feel about Lily and Cole. If God in any way feels about us the same way we feel about those grandkids, people, we are living way below our inheritance. He's wanting to show the riches of his kindness, the riches of his grace. I think we've barely, if it come packaged, I'm not sure we've got the bow off the package yet. Much less really begin to experience what he has for us. Well, I know what the assignment is. Just like when I first came, I knew what the assignment then was. Pray in tongues. Shut the radio off. Pray in tongues. I know what the assignment is now. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Gary, the truth that I've given you, renew your mind with it. Will that involve confession? I'm sure it will. Will that involve meditation? I'm sure it will. Will that involve, I don't know what all it's going to involve. Well, is it going to take more praying in tongues and sitting and listening? I'm sure that it will. But I do know this. Nothing else takes priority over that. Now, I got stuff to do like you got stuff to do. I got to mow the lawn tomorrow. Okay? Well, it keeps raining. We got stuff we got to do. But we got to quit falling for the deception of getting too busy to renew our minds. Did you get that? Do you know what the assignment is? Be renewed in the spirit of our mind. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you now. I'm going to ask Sue to pray a dismissal prayer. I don't know if you can find chapter and verse for a dismissal prayer, but how about a blessing? Pray a blessing on them, baby. And at the end of this, you're dismissed. And if you came for prayer, come put your toes on the green line.
Thank you so much, Father, for all that you're teaching us by your Holy Spirit. I thank you for all the people that are not here at the prayer center, but that who receive your word through the prayer center and are just as much a part of it They're our brothers and sisters, and we're united and bonded together in love with them. Father, I pray for every one of them, that the Word bears fruit in their life, Your Word that's exalted above Your name, Your Word that never passes away, though heaven and earth pass away, that they, every one of us, grab hold of the truth, and we keep it, and we never let it go, and it's part of us, Father. We eat Your Word, and it's good. Father, I thank You for working in the midst of the people as they go to the jobs, as they minister to their families, the fathers and mothers and the brothers and the sisters, Father, and the children, that You're there with Your presence, Your power, that they know Your grace. They know Your grace, Father. They reach out to You to receive from Your hand all the grace You poured out through Jesus for us. I thank You, Father, for peace in the homes, for every person here and that is connected with the prayer center all over the world. Father, just thank You. Thank You for all these dear brothers and sisters. You fulfill Your pleasure in them and that work of faith with power. Thank You. Go in peace. And grace and peace to you.
Amen.